Bruchim Abom, everybody. Welcome to Monday night's Parsha class. This week's Parsha is Parsha's Matav and Maseh. It's a double Parsha. This is an unusual combination because in Eretz Yisrael, they're only reading Parsha's Maseh. It took many weeks for Eretz Yisrael and us here in Chutz Laaretz, in Toronto, and the world at large to catch up. It started from Pesach time when we had still Achron Shel Pesach was on Shabbos, and in Eretz Yisrael it was a regular Shabbos. And we finally, this year, this week, we are catching up in Parshas Matas Masei. So we have a double Parsha, and the B'nai Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael will only have Parshas Masei. Today's date is Chof Vav Tammuz Tav Shin Pei Beis, corresponding with the English calendar, July 25th, 2022. Before I begin the shir, just like to bring to your attention, we are almost going to begin the 9 days and the 9 saddest days of the year, beginning with Rosh Chodesh Av, which begins Thursday night, because Friday is the first day of Rosh Chodesh, and in keeping in line with the various halachos of the 9 days, we have various customs that apply to the 9 days. We do not wash our laundry. We don't take showers except on Erev Shabbos or if we are very, very uncomfortable after we're very sweated up and perspired. We don't wear specially laundered clothing unless we pre-wore the clothing before, and in our case, today is Monday night, so we can take a shirt or a pair of pants that we normally would change during the week, or a blouse or a skirt, and if we change that during the week, so we would wear it for maybe 15, 20 minutes, and we would be able to take out its freshness a slight bit of it, and then we could put it aside and wear it during the 9 days. This is done la halacha. If you're not up to it, then do as much as you can. And we do not do the preparation for undergarments that does not follow this rule at all. It's only the outer garments as well. As far as Shabbos is concerned, Shabbos is Shabbos. And we prepare for Shabbos like we normally prepare for Shabbos, and we wear our Shabbos clothing accordingly. If you have any particular questions, I think you should ask your Rav, because very often questions need to be answered according to the circumstances that you're in. So now let's begin Parsha. A little bit of a summary of both Parshias will do justice, at least, even though we're not going to be talking about the entire two Parshias, but a little bit of a summary would help. In Parshas Matos, there are several highlighted areas. The beginning of the Parsha talks about vows, making a vow and keeping the vow. A Jewish word is a word that's kept, never to be held cheap and unimportant. A Yachol Devorai, a Jew should not hold his words and his promises cheaply. He has to keep his word. The next part of the Parsha talks about the taking revenge of the Midianites who were directly involved in causing the Jewish people to sin at the time of Pinchas's revolution against them. Then we have the laws that have to do with Kashrus, making Kalim kosher, as they won the war against Midian, and they ended up taking the booty. They had to make their vessels kosher, so the whole area of Kashrus and of Kalim comes into play. At the end of the parasha, it talks about the B'nai Gad, the B'nai Ruvain, requesting to have the portion that they were entitled to be given to them before the Jewish people crossed the Jordan, the Yarden. Then into Parshas Maaseh, we have the travelings of the Jewish people as a summary of the 42 travels, sites and places that took place during the 40 years. Talks about also when they enter Eretz Israel, they had a mitzvah of destroying their idols and to free them from idolatry. Talks about also about the boundaries of Eretz Israel and every shevet had and every and family had their place where they belong. And then the end of the parsha talks about the Ori Miklat, the cities of refuge. If God forbid somebody killed another Jew accidentally, would have to run to one of the cities of refuge so that he will not be killed by a relative, even though it wasn't done on purpose. But, you know, sometimes people are in a rage and they want to take revenge. And in order for that to be avoided, the Torah gave us six Ori Miklat, three on the portion of the part that was before the Jordan was crossed, and then three in Eretz Yisrael proper. Chazal tell us that Ori Levium, the Ori Levium, the cities of Levium, also served as an Ori Mikla, so the Jewish people had where to go if they had to run for safety. And this was part of the setup of Eretz Yisrael, and this was Baruch Hashem a way to keep the Bnei Yisrael free from any additional bloodshed that might chas v'shalom appear. So this is the summary of the parashios, and I here to begin now this week's parasha. We're going to take apart. We're going to discuss the part, the ending of Parashas Matos that has to talk about the Bnei Gad and the Bnei Reuven requesting a portion. Parashas Matos has a very interesting story and episode that touches us very personally till this very, very day. It talks about Avas Hamamon, the love for money, for physical pleasures, for luxuries, which have caused Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven to misplace their priorities. I would like to begin the parsha by reading some of the portion of the Torah, the story itself. You can follow inside if you have a chumash. And we're going to begin reading from Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Aleph. The Torah tells us, Umikna Rav Haya Levnei Reuven V'Levnei Gad Asuma Oit. And there was a huge amount of flock that belonged to the sons of Reuven and the sons of Gad. V'yiru es Erez Yazer, es Erez Gilad, and they saw the land of Yazer and the land of Gilad. V'hine hamokim makoim mikne. And this was fertile grazing land. Plus, it continues a little further ahead. Vayayimu, and they said to Moshe and Eliezer, Imatsanu chem b'aynecha, if we have found favor in your eyes, Yutan es ha'oretz hazoyf ha'avodecha la'achuza, let it please be given this portion of land as a as a possession, Al Tavirenu Es HaYarden. We do not want to cross the Jordan. Vayomer Moshe Levnei Gad Levnei Reuven, and Moshe and said to Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven, Ha'achechem Yavo'o La'mochama Va'atam Teshuvo. Your brothers are going to go fighting in war, and you're going to settle here and relax. And the pasuk goes on, and Moshe Rabbeinu chastised them. Don't you remember what happened in the time of the Meraglim, where they frightened the Jewish people into not wanting to go to Eretz Yisrael? Is this a ploy? Is this a plan that you don't want to go, and therefore all of a sudden the Jewish people are going to suddenly find themselves in a state of hysteria? Is this what you're trying to do? Don't you know that the only two survivors is Yoshua ben Nun and Caleb ben Yefunneh? What are you going to say to that? And they responded, and they said, Pasuk Tezayin, V'yikshu Elov, V'yoymu, they came close to Moshe and they said, Gidrei Sein Nivne L'miknenu, corrals for sheep we will build for our flock. Ho, right over here, V'oren L'tapenu, and cities for our children. V'anachnu Necholes Chushim, we hastily will arm ourselves, Lifnei B'nei Yisrael, to go ahead of the Jewish people. We will go in the front lines, in the most dangerous places, Adashe Im Hevi Oinu El Mekoman, until we have brought them to their place in Eretz Canaan, V'yoshav Tapenu, and we will settle Tapenu Ba'orei Hamivtza Mipnei Yoshei Ha'oretz, and we will see to it that our children will be settled in their places. Lo nashuv el boteinu, we will not go back to our homes, ad ad hisnacha b'nei Yisrael ishnach laso, until the Jewish people will settle into the land and divide everything according to each person's place. And they continue on, and at that time, they finally continue, and Moshe responds. That's what you're planning to do. You're planning to arm yourself and go fight for the Jewish people, with the Jewish people, courageously in front of the Jewish people, in the front lines, the most dangerous places, and you've got to keep your word, then you may do this, and you will may be able to keep your portion in the other side of the Jordan. Then you'll be able, Benu Lachem Orem Latapchem, you can build cities for your children, Ukideiros Litzonachem, and corrals for your sheep, Vayotim Ipichem Ta'asu. And whatever comes out of your mouth, you have to keep. And this was the story that took place at the time. So it would seem, from the surface, it was a pretty fair request, and they were given permission to do what they wanted, providing that they keep their word and they will fight and protect the B'nai Yisrael. Well, this is the surface of this whole discussion. But Harav Aaron Kotler, Zecha Tzadik Levracha, in Mishnah's Rebbe Aram, has a whole shiur that's titled Chemdas Hamamon, the dear and the love that was expressed for money. This whole episode had brought out a very negative midah, a very negative trait of B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven, where they went ahead and they showed how important it was to have material wealth, so more important that they put their cattle for their children. So important it was for them to do this that Moshe Rabbeinu right away reacted that this was a very great danger zone for Klal Yisrael. Now, he did mention this. He mentioned this at the outset, but according to the way of Rav Aaron Kotler Zatzal in Mishnas Rebbe Aaron, it comes out there was a much greater concern over here. And the concern was that their focus was on the material wealth and not on the emunah and betochen. Let me read from the Medrash of Kehelas that is brought down in the Sefer Mishnas Rebbe Aaron. It begins with the word Dover Acher, another meaning in the words in the episode of the word Umikne Rav, Zesha Amahapasuk, Lev Chacham, on that pasuk of Mikne Rav, having an enormous amount of flock, on that it says a pasuk in Kehelet, the Medrash Rabbah, Lev Chacham Yemin V'Lev Kisil L'Smaylai. What does that mean? Lev Chacham Yemin Zeh Moshe Rabbeinu V'Lev Kisil L'Smaylo, and the heart to the fool is to his left. Elu B'nei Reuven U'B'nei Gad. The Asu Es Ha'Ikar Tafel. They made what's more important secondary. V'Es Ha'Tafel Ikar. And that which is insignificant or less important, domineering. Shechivavu es mamonam yosem in hanefashos. They showed more love for their money, more for the nefashos, for the souls. Shehen omim lemoshe, for they said to Moshe, Yidro son nivne lemikneinu po, we would like to set up corrals for our sheep here, va'orim l'tapenu, and we'll set up cities for our young children. Omar Ahem, Moshe responded back to them, Eino kulum, that's not correct. Ela asu es ha'ikar, make the ikar the more important thing, and make the ikar, put things into perspective. Don't mix up your priorities. The ikar is the ikar, and the tuffel is the tuffel. What is the ikar? Tchila banu lachem orim letapchem. First, you should build cities for your children. Ve'achakach gidreis letzayimchem. And afterwards, you set up corrals for your sheep. And that's what it means. Lev chacham liyaminai. The heart of a wise man is to his right. Zemoshe v'lev kisil l'smono, and the heart of the fool is to his left. This is what is brought down in the Mishnah's Aaron. And Rav Aaron Kotler Zatzal goes on to explain how the physical possessions, how the luxuries of people have already been affecting mankind way back then, and they wanted to have it easier, and they wouldn't want to have to work so hard, so they had the flock near their grazing area. They said, this is what we're looking for, and they were prepared to exchange Eretz Canaan, Eretz HaKodesh, for green pastures and rolling meadows. That was their understanding of what it meant to be blessed with the blessings of Olam Hazeh. But This was not understood correctly because Moshe Rabbeinu tried to correct them and put things into perspective. We have to understand, though, that this midah of chemdas hamamon, of having desire for money, is something part and parcel of a human being. How much money drives a person into doing many things. Sometimes it's good, but many times it's bad. And we see from the parsha that the Bnei Yisrael, and they were holy people. The Shvatim were the Dor HaMidbar. These are the holy Shvatim of the Dor HaMidbar. They weren't free from the Yetzer Hara of wanting to amass physical possessions and luxury in place of exchanging it for ruchnius and perhaps something more lofty. Rav Aaron focuses mainly the chesaron over here was their lack of emuna and betachin. This chemdas hamamim, why would they want to have this? They want to have all the possessions that they need. They want it now. Why? But they lacked the proper emunah and betachin. If they have it now, then they'll get it now, and we won't worry later. And let me read you what Rav Aaron writes in his sefer. Says Rav Aaron, "Be'emes harishorshu v'chet chesaron emunah ubetachin." The shayrus of the chet of wanting to have chemdas hamamon, and wanting to put your children after your money is a chesaron of emunah and betachin. V'gam hu av l'kama chatoim gedolim, and it's also the prime reason for many, many sins. V'amar b'taisefta, and it's brought down in the taisefta, says Rabbi Aaron, that it talks about the first base of Mikdash and the second base of Mikdash. And he writes about the second base of Mikdash, Abu Bahreina, in the last base of Mikdash, the Bayesheni, Akiranu Behen Shehen Amelim Betoru. We recognize that the people in the time of the second Bayes were very committed to learning Torah. Was hearing by Maisrais, and they were careful in giving Maiser, Trumas and Maisrais, to the Kayan and the Levi and to the poor. Mivne Ma Golu, why were they exiled? And the Medrash says, Mipne Sha'oyavim es Hamomoim, because they loved money, Visainim Ish Esri Ehu, and they had hatred from one to the other. Havishamidais avas hamamon, the love for money, gorma l'churban, was the cause of churban bayis sheni. Became avas hamamon, he should gorma l'sinas chinam, the love for the money, and each one wanted to protect his own possessions, was the cause to sinas chinam. They weren't mavater, they weren't giving, they wanted to keep their wealth. Iruchnius, if a person is spiritually inclined, einam avia l'sina, doesn't bring a person to sinna, to hate. Barak avas achumrius, the love of physical possessions and to money, he shagorma, that is gairim sinas chinam. And says Rav Aaron, making this out, that this was one of the causes of the destruction of the Bayis Sheni. How appropriate this is when we're now talking about right before Tisha B'Av, we are going to begin the 9 days in just a few days, and how appropriate it is to bear in mind how B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven, without them realizing it, they had exposed their weakness of chemdas hamamon, the love for money, in such a way that it brought about their own calamity. And this, later on, it's brought down further into Sefer that B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven were the very first ones to be exiled from Eretz Yisrael. And it's brought down further in the Rav Aaron Sefer, Mekol Mokim Niskayim Behem Yiglu B'Reish Goylem, they were from the first to be exiled to Golus, but Nimsa the Gam HaGolus Hazu, the Golu Techila Nigma Yudei Avas Momri. It was the cause of the love for money. So we know that money can cause a person a very, very serious a problem and create an unstable and healthy life between him and his sometimes family members and neighbors and his community. Unfortunately, if you ever hear about tragedies that take place, very, very often they take place surrounding some kind of money affair. Something has to be very much taken into consideration. I wanted to add something on my own, which I think would be very apropos, and that is we say in Krishma how important it is that we should guard ourselves from the possessions that Hashem blesses us. After all, we do want to be blessed for serving Hashem. We say it in the Krishma, and I once mentioned this before, in the second portion of Krishma, V'hoyim shamoa tishmu el mitzvesai. We say that if you will listen carefully to the mitzvah of Hashem, which I'm commanding you, Hashem will bless you with various parts of various blessings. V'nasati metar artechem bi'itai. Hashem tells us He will give us the rain in its proper time. Yore u'malkush, the rain before and the rain afterwards. V'asafta d'ganecha v'sireishcha v'yitzarecha. And you'll gather in your grain and your vineyards and your olive groves. V'nasati esa b'satcha l'vamtecha. You'll have grass in your field for your animals. V'achalta v'savata. This is wonderful. Hashem is telling us, I'll bless you with physical wealth. But then the Torah tells us in the Krishma, the very, very next pasuk, I warn you, Hishamru lechem, guard yourselves, pen yiftel avavchem, lest your heart will be attracted and be overtaken. V'saratem v'avatem elihim acherim. Then suddenly you will go and turn yourself to other gods. V'yishtachavisam lehem. You bow to them. The physical possessions are a blessing, but you got to be careful that they don't occupy and dominate your life. If money and physical possessions dominate your life, then you become so accustomed to it that you become addicted to that kind of lifestyle, to having money and having everything you want and having to expect the honor and prestige that comes with the money. And then suddenly you create in your environment a terrible message that reaches people. Give yourself exclusive, and you will only attain meetings and attention from people who will meet your requirements, and you become a different person. Money can change your whole attitude. And the Torah is warning you, Hishamu lechem, pen yiftel avavchem, lest it turns your heart aside. The only thing that can help you, so if Hashem is giving you money, then the Hashem is also giving you a curse? No, that's not true. Because right away, a few psukim later in the Shema, it says, V'samtem es devare ela al avavchem v'al nafshechem, put these words of the Torah on your heart and on your soul, and you tie them to your hand and on between your eyes. And you shall train your children to speak in them. Torah is an antidote to going overboard. Torah is an antidote from being affected by the effect of affluence and having all the advantages of a physical life. Because if a person learns Torah and he's adherent to the Torah, that it tempers him, it controls him, makes decisions based on Torah principles. I once heard a speech given by Rabbi Yisachar Friend, a very popular speaker, one of the Rosh Yeshivas in Baltimore Yeshiva. He once spoke about affluence, and he spoke about when does a person, he was talking about a wedding. Here's a rich man. A rich man wants to make a wedding. He's given an enormous amount of tzedakah, but he wants to have a wedding that's fitting for his clients and for his level of affluence. How does he decide how to go about making a wedding and how fancy it should be and how he should have the music and the photography and the flowers and the menu all the other perks that go with making a wedding fancy? So he said an enormous rule that applies to all of us. And he said, whenever it becomes too big of a deal, that's when it's too much. When you're making too big of a deal of the music, then you must have 25 musicians. Too big of a deal of the flowers, you must have them sent by the Concord Supergent from from Sweden or from another country. You make too big of a deal of the menu, too big of a deal over the fanciness of the wedding. That's when you have to stop. This is I want to make a simple wedding according to his level. And this is a rule for us. When we make too big of a deal over our vacations, when we make too big of a deal over our spending on luxuries, when we make too big of a deal on things which are not considered as important, that's when we know we're going overboard. We have to find the golden path, the middle path. And sometimes, if we don't know, and we should ask a rav. We ask a good friend who is into halacha, and you ask him, "How would you feel about this?" Ask a shayla, and then you would get an answer. If you make the wealth overcome you, then it'll dominate you, and then all of a sudden, it'll change your character. And you won't be able to flow and to reach people and to be able to be the humankind that we are all supposed to be. One of the historical people in our generation that was so in control over his money was Moshe Reichman. You can call him a tzaddik. He has given millions of dollars to tzedakah, literally millions of dollars to tzedakah. On Shabbos, he wouldn't want to talk about any money only Divrei Torah. You couldn't talk to him about any money. He was known, what's the name of the his building firm? I don't remember offhand. It was known to be, this is the Jewish builder. Every Shabbos he would stop. If it was an early Shabbos, 4 o'clock, the workers, Olympia, York, construction. Everybody knew that this is a Jewish worker, this is a Jewish owner. Everybody stopped at 4 o'clock or whenever it was close to Shabbos.
Tenenbaum.
Everyone knew that. Right. Tenenbaum also. But the point, what I'm trying to bring out over here, is that these people were in control over their money. Walk into their houses, it looked like a mansion, yet didn't affect them at all. No, they would give millions of dollars. Moshe Reichman, with the Canary Wharf, oh, that disaster that put him in bankruptcy, had a feeling something bad was going to happen. So he right away went to Rav Shach in Eretz Yisrael, and he wrote him a $25 million check. Give it to Rosh Yeshiva. I'm giving you the money to give to whoever you feel should get the money, to any yeshiva, to any orphanage. I'm giving it to you. Here's a man who had complete control over his wealth, and the wealth did not control him. There's a person, sometimes, I'm sure, he didn't have change. He goes over to one of his friends and says, could you lend me $20? I want to give this Mashiach $20. I'll give it to you some other time. A man had was down to earth. A man who was down to earth. So simply put, and what Chazal want us to follow. Chazal want us to follow the way of the Torah, that we shouldn't be occupied by our money. We should take the money and we use it for the right purposes. And when we say, and there's, I heard it, a Svarisha, I heard from Rabbi Mansur, I don't know what his source, I once mentioned it, when we say in the morning, Yerecha Hashem v'yishmerecha, Yoy Hashem panav elecha v'chunecha, Yisa Hashem panav elecha v'yasei mecha shalom. That's a bracha that Moshe Rabbeinu it was blessing Klal Yisrael. This is the bracha that the Kohanim blessed the Jewish people. It says, Yivrecha Hashem v'yishmerecha. Hashem should bless you and should guard you. So one explanation is it should guard you, that the money, that the blessing that Hashem gives you shouldn't destroy you. V'yishmerecha. Hashem should bless you, but the blessing should be for your benefit and not for your discredit. You have to understand that money is a very powerful vehicle. Money is the source of a lot of bracha, and money could be the source of very much tzaris. I know we have to work on playing down the physical pleasures, and whatever Hashem gives us, we should use it for the right things and have the right kavanas. Just want to mention a few important contemporary things. I remember a story, I don't know between who and who. There was somebody in Eretz Yisrael, I don't remember the Gado. He had an opportunity to purchase Kikar Shabbos. Kikar Shabbos is probably the most expensive corner, my busiest place in Yerushalayim. One of the most busiest places in Yerushalayim. And the land is probably worth millions of dollars. Millions of dollars. It's like Boardwalk and Park Place. It's the most expensive piece of property. He had an opportunity to buy it. No, I don't want to own it. I don't want my children to get so wealthy, and therefore they'll end up having the Yetzer Hara to be weaned away from Torah. That was a Gadol's perspective. You have to understand, Gedolim think differently than us, but that's a Gadol's perspective. We are also living in a time where there's a modern Gadol that's among us Jews here in Toronto. And his name is Rav David Hofstadter Shlita. He's the founder of the Deer Shoe Society, the Deer Shoe Daf Yomi, the Deer Shoe Halacha Yomi. He has caused hundreds and tens of thousands of Jewish people to learn Torah, to master Torah, and to study Halacha, and to master the Mishnah Brura by giving them stipends, money, to be able to encourage them to learn extra and to be able to study what they're learning. He gives millions and millions of his personal dollars that the organization should thrive and grow. It is growing by leaps and bounds. And his money is kadosh. His money is holy. And his wealth is not... You look at him, you talk to him, you shake his hand. There's no airs about him. I once saw him lining up to get... COVID-19 test, one of these tests. I gave him a handshake and said, "Reb David, I don't know if I should leave go your hand. It's such a special hand. I can't imagine what you have done to Klal Yisrael." He has affected countries, not just communities, countries of Yiddishkeit all over the world. And if you can plug into Deer Shoe, any Deer Shoe site, you can see some of the accomplishments of Deer Shoe. You can see some of the celebrations of Deer Shoe that are unbelievable, completely run by one man. And he has rubbed shoulders with every gadol in the world. And everyone in the world respects him because he's using his money for Torah and for mitzvahs. And it's hard to believe that here in Toronto, we have in our own very community probably the greatest Marbitz Torah that this generation has ever had. Yes, this is what you can do with money. You have to be mespal. You have to know that if you want the money to be used for the right purposes, right places, you have to daven for siyata d'shmaya. You have to daven to Hashem and Shema Kaleinu. I should be led in the right way if I'm having a good parnasa and I have a comfortable house and a good cottage that is welcoming to many people, and I honor people and I invite people to my home and people know that I'm open for helping others. So money that you spent is blessed money. And the more you give, like my father, Oliver Sharma, says, the more you give, the more you get. And he sees it, and this is something that's happening all the time. I would therefore like to conclude today's shiur to wishing all of you, this coming week is a sad week, the week of the 9 days, but to get the message. The message is that we should be a little bit different than the B'nai Gad and B'nai Ruvain. And actually, with B'nai Gad and with B'nai Ruvain was Chatzi Shevet Menashe, half of Shevet Menashe that was also combined. And let us not be controlled by our money. Let our minds and our Muna B'tochen control our money. Let our tefillos be raised to Shemayim to help us guide our wealth and our affluence. Hashem will definitely show you the right way, because Hashem money because he wants you to enjoy the money. He wants you to enjoy the affluence, but you have to be careful that it should be with learning Torah and teaching the children the ways of Hashem. Hashem will surely bless you all, will help you through challenging times, and the Rebbeinu Shlom will hopefully help us out of our period of 9 days, and we will one day be zeicha to talk about the building of the Beis HaMikdash b'mehera v'yameinu speedily in our days, and yes, Hashem, very soon. A wonderful Shabbos, a good Rosh Chodesh, and a wonderful week. Akudavach.